Hi, everyone. It's Gail. Just a quick note to say, I hope you're all taking care of yourselves and each other the best you can right now. If you want to connect with listeners of the show, our She Explores podcast Facebook group is a great place to do it. Today, we had a listener share a photo of the tent they set up in their living room for their kids. It's adorable, and I'm grateful for you all. Okay, that's it. On with the show.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. You might know Deuter for the technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs they've been making German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. But they also have a long-standing commitment to craft their durable packs with sustainability in mind, because they see looking after the environment as their responsibility as an outdoor and travel gear company. We'll get to learn more about Deuter's commitment to environmental sustainability initiatives later in the episode, so stay tuned. We'll talk with Rebecca, a member of the Deuter team, about Deuter's history of designing sustainable gear for the long haul. Learn more at deuter.com and find your perfect bag for your next adventure at rei.com or your favorite online outdoor shop.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Appalachian Gear Company, who crafts a one-of-a-kind, 100% sustainably sourced alpaca fiber layering system engineered by nature, designed for the trail, and USA manufactured for all your outdoor activities. Their alpaca fabric hoodies offer unmatched breathability, moisture management, and odor control with 100% responsibly sourced alpaca fiber. Their products are lightweight yet durable, making it a great layer to stand up to the test of harnesses and other outdoor gear. Plus, alpaca garments and accessories are machine washable, hypoallergenic, and made with zero added synthetics and no harsh chemical treatments. So you can feel as good about where your gear comes from as where you're going with it next. Learn more and see the entire line of products at AppalachianGearCompany.com. That's AppalachianGearCompany.com. GearCompany.com. AppalachianGearCompany.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. This week's episode is unique. It was recorded, for the most part, live at No Man's Land Film Festival on March 8th. It features Beth Bradley, a speaker and a hiker. A lot has changed in our world since then due to COVID-19, but before we did the interview, I asked Beth what she wanted to speak most about, and she said, quote, how important I find inclusivity to be, especially as it relates to body diversity, unquote.
So ever since I was a little kid, I knew I was too fat. I remember being in third grade and having to do pull-ups in front of the whole class and just being terrified of that feeling of everybody's eyes on me and judging me, and that feeling just followed me up through being an adult. It would get in the way of me trying new things, and it just kind of became the story that I believed about my life.
This is a condensed version of a story Beth told for Moth in her hometown of Denver. Beth submitted it to an earlier episode of She Explores about solo outdoor time.
But for some reason last summer, it just got to be too much, and I just got fed up with it. And I started to think, like, what can I do right now to change it? And the first thing I thought of doing was to do a hike by myself. I had been going for a walk every day, and it kind of felt like the right direction. And I just thought, well, like, hiking's kind of just extreme walking, so maybe I can do it. But right away, I was just trying to talk myself out of it. I was thinking, like, I don't have the right stuff. I don't have anyone to go with. And I had a real fear of, like, the real hikers on the trail seeing me struggling and knowing that it was because I was too fat. But despite all of that, I just knew it was just scary enough to me that I had to try it. So I got to the trail the next morning. I had found this 5-mile loop not too far from where I live. And I didn't really have any real gear. I had some generic $20 athletic shoes. I had an old Sprite bottle that I was using as a water bottle. But I got started, and right away there's all these, like, confident people striding by me, and I'm just letting them all pass by. And I felt terrible. Like, I felt like I couldn't go on. I couldn't breathe. But I just kept looking ahead at the trail, and I just kept trying to get to that next spot. I'd just be like, I'm just going to try to get to there. And then I would do that again, and eventually I had gotten pretty far. I looked back, and, like, my car was just a tiny dot in the parking lot. And the other thing I realized is that instead of listening to that voice the whole time telling me it was too fat. It was like that voice was quiet. Like I was listening to the wind, I was listening to the birds, my own breathing. And for once, I just, that narrative was gone from my mind. So hiking solo has changed my life, and I've kept it up, and I go almost every weekend. And at first I really was afraid, and I was scared of people seeing me huffing and puffing up the hill. But the more that I think about it and the more that I do it, I just think about who do we think should be on these trails and doing these active things. And instead of worrying about whether they see me, I really just hope that they do.
It was an honor to talk to Beth at Cultivated Synergy in Denver for the flagship No Man's Land Film Festival. But since our world and outdoor time looks a lot different in just a few weeks due to novel coronavirus, I called up Beth on Monday night, about a day before publishing this episode, for a quick catch-up. Hey, Beth. Thanks so much for hopping on. How are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing okay considering everything that's going on. So thank you for asking.
I don't know about you, but it's hard to believe that it's just been, I think it's been a little over 2 weeks since we did our live conversation that everyone's about to hear.
Yeah, it almost seems, I can't even believe it was only that short time. It feels like almost a different dimension that we're in now. So kind of incredible.
Yeah, it's like every day feels different, right?
Oh, I know. And everything changes, I feel like, from day to day. And that's, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the only way to kind of cope, is to try not to think too far into the future, because everything is in such flux right now that it's definitely a one day at a time situation.
Mm. Yeah. It's even, I would say it's even that way in terms of how we should be interacting with the outdoors
right
now.
Totally.
Like on She Explores, we wrote a guide and, you know, we finished a Thursday and published it like Friday morning.
Yep.
And most of it's about experiencing the outdoors, you know, from inside your house. But there's still a little bit about, you know, at that time it felt okay to recommend that people seek out trailheads. And I think that at this point, it's still possible. I think it is still possible for people to go to trails, but it really, really, really depends on where you are. And there's a lot of gray area in that. And
totally.
So that we might have even released something a little bit different, you know, if we'd released it this morning versus
right. And
Friday morning.
Yeah. And the next day. Exactly. Yeah. That's how I've been feeling about it too. Just day to day. You know, the first weekend of kind of all of the social distancing, I went hiking, but I tried to stay really close to home. And same with this past weekend, but I'm getting to the point where, you know, yeah, is it really responsible to be telling people to still get out on the trail and stuff, because there's just so many things to keep in mind right now for everyone's safety.
One of the things that our team's been talking a lot about is the fact that it's still good to dream. It's something that Laura Borchevsky brought up on our team, that it's still important to dream of, you know, those places we might want to go to or those hikes we might want to go on. So is there anywhere that you're dreaming about that you can't tap into right now?
Oh, man. I'd say, I mean, I just find myself kind of just dreaming even just about the nearby trails that I get to do regularly, you know, just places that might be an hour away. It's just making me, I'd say, feel so much even more gratitude, like for where I live in Colorado, just because it's just amazing, you know, to have your world kind of shrink so quickly, to be limited. And so that's what I'm dreaming about. I'm just like dreaming about how Rocky Mountain National Park looks right now, you know, I feel so, so much like I wish I could see, you know, spring popping out everywhere. So yeah, I'm definitely just dreaming of the next time I get to even just go an hour away. But I mean, there's so many places, and I do appreciate like seeing, you know, people that are sharing content of places they have been. I mean, I'd love to go back to Moab. I'd love to go back to Zion. I'd love to go to Yosemite again. I don't know. It warms you up a little bit to see that kind of like nature is still doing its thing in all of those places.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice to have those places to look forward to.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, exactly. We'll be able to get out there again. And
I feel like even with just sort of like a renewed appreciation for it too, just like the respect for it. And it's hard to know how much you were taking something for granted until it's taken away. So in a way, I think that's kind of an awesome thing to get to realize about this right now.
Yeah, I feel that way about a lot of people who I'd like to see in person.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. Yeah, it's true. That's what I keep thinking. I'm just like, oh my God, like our lives were so beautiful, you know, like to be able to just like pursue the things you love, to go where you want to go, like see the people that you love, like all of those things are really in high relief right now, how wonderful they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing that I saw, I think it was an Instagram handle. It was She Colors Nature. She posted today. Her name's Chelsea. I'll have to look that up. I already told you I'm terrible with names. I said stage, which I'm keeping in because I'm doing the exercise and vulnerability that you talked about and keeping everything
excellent.
In.
No, it's so good. Yeah, absolutely.
But she wrote a post about how it's even a privilege to be able to stay inside right now, you know, and to remember that.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, it's true. That's how I feel too. Just like I'm lucky that I have a home, you know, that's safe and that I have what I need. So yeah, it just getting down even to those basics, like you start to have a different appreciation and understanding of what those things are too.
Mm-hmm. So, like what are some small things you're doing to take care of yourself right now?
Let's see. I think that taking things a day at a time is huge. Just like trying not to get too flooded with anxiety about what's to come because we just really don't know. So that I'm trying to kind of any time that I can just be like present and I guess I'm just trying to think through like routines that I can keep too, because I think that that helps to kind of have a structure to your day. So I'm taking my dog out for a walk 3 times a day and that's hugely important. I think even though we can't get out on the trails, I can walk around my neighborhood. And even just seeing, you know, staying a safe distance away from other people. But I do even just like to see other people out with their dogs and kind of wave at them and say hi from a distance, even people I don't know. I feel like I've been doing that more because I'm so happy to see other people. Every kind of like little act of kindness sort of is like it feels amplified by like a million right now. So it's like if somebody waves at me and says, cute dog, then I'm like, thank you so much. You know, like you just, yeah. So I'm trying to really like notice those moments of people being kind. And yeah, I think just getting outside as much as I can, even though a few days ago here in Denver, we had like a mini blizzard, but I still got out and walked my dog around. And it was great to do that. I think, you know, just getting sun, getting light, and keeping to a schedule that you can make that happen has been really helpful.
So one of the things that we talk about mm-hmm. and everyone's going to hear about in the conversation is the 52 hike challenge.
Yes.
How that's something that you're mm-hmm. doing again this year. So are you taking that day by day too?
Yeah, I think so. Because I feel like it's so funny, you know, because it's like I made that plan at the beginning of the year. And I think of that person who made that plan and they feel like a stranger, you know, like a character from a book or something. This has just given everybody kind of a sense of how like your dreams or your plans can evaporate really quickly and nothing is certain, you know? So it's like, I got out last weekend and then one of the things I was trying to do was hike as many different trails as I could. But then I just did the exact same trail this weekend because I knew it kind of met the criteria for being safe. It's close, you know, it's only 20 minutes away. It's not really in a state park or anything. It's almost just like a neighborhood park and it has a big wide trail. So it's easy to pass people with lots of distance. I'm like, even, you know, I was just trying to kind of take that in because I don't know what will happen, you know? And it was like, even if this is the last hike I get to do for a long time, I just really want to remember how beautiful it was. And so, yeah, so I think I'm just going to do as many hikes as I can, but keeping in mind my safety and everyone else's safety too.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Beth. I really appreciate
it. Oh, of course. Yeah.
I really appreciate you hopping on. I also appreciate you being willing to, and I know getting on stage is kind of your thing, but like getting on stage having that conversation is really nice.
Oh, my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I loved getting to talk to you. So thank you so much for that opportunity. Oh,
you're welcome. Guidance is changing all the time right now. No matter what, we should be doing everything we can to socially distance ourselves from others. And when everyone floods trailheads, that becomes a pretty big problem. I'll link a couple of resources in the show notes that hopefully will continue to update as time goes on, because as Beth said, we're taking this day by day. If you're not familiar, No Man's Land is a women's adventure film festival. I'm pretty sure it's the first of its kind. Their flagship event was a full weekend of film screenings, workshops, and live events. It was an honor to do a live episode of She Explores there. In our conversation that you're about to hear, I'm sorry it's taken so long to get to it. It's not the usual for us. In our conversation, Beth talks about vulnerability. So I decided to release this one unedited. As the host and producer of this show, an edited podcast, I sometimes take refuge in being able to cut silly things I say or mistakes I see myself as making. But there's beauty in showing up live. And I'm thankful to Beth for encouraging me to see that for myself, too. One quick note before we start. You'll notice that my mic is a little glitchy at times, and I'm a naturally quieter talker. I tried to even it out where I could, but we'll have to settle for imperfectly perfect. Okay, here it is.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming today. It's so beautiful outside that I wouldn't blame you at all if you just all walked out right now and just spent the afternoon outside. But really appreciate you taking the time to come listen to a live episode of She Explores. And I'm really thrilled to have Beth Bradley here with me, and I'll be talking more about who Beth is. But I would say, first off, Beth is a speaker, a hiker, and a writer. How would you describe yourself, Beth?
I would say all of those are accurate. I'd say storyteller, too, and just like general adventure person. So, yeah.
And something I asked Beth before the show, whether you identify as an advocate.
Yeah, and that's an interesting question. I would say I try my best to advocate, but I don't know if I would say that or not, but I try.
Who here is familiar with She Explores?
Oh, nice.
That's so nice. So I don't really have to explain She Explores. But if I did have to, I would say you're already familiar with it, really, because you went, if you saw a program last night of No Man's Land Film Festival, that's basically what She Explores does, too. We elevate the stories of all different types of women in the outdoors and really stress that there's really no one way to find yourself outside. So we've had women on the show, the last 150-ish episodes talk about mental health, depression, anxiety, talk about postpartum depression, talk about the way hiking makes them feel, really, as simple as that sounds. So Beth is definitely fits into that category. She is someone who actually submitted a voice memo to an episode of She Explores in 2018, mm-hmm. and it was an episode all about solo hiking.
Yep.
And she submitted, it wasn't actually a voice memo, it was a moth live storytelling.
Yeah, it was an excerpt. I got to do the moth storytelling slam, and I spoke about hiking, and I spoke about my first solo hike. So I was like, this lines up pretty well, so I submitted an excerpt from that.
And one of the really cool things about that excerpt is that you talk about how hiking helped you quiet some of the more negative internal narratives that you had and helped you find your voice to help change the way we all think about who belongs outside. And that's really why I wanted you here today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. That's absolutely, almost immediately, that first time I went hiking by myself, I had brought all these like podcasts and music to listen to, and I got partway through the hike and I realized I hadn't even put in my headphones because I had just been like listening to the wind and my own breathing, and it was like that voice that had always been in my head like telling me like, you're too fat to do this, like, that was quiet. So that was fascinating, and that kind of, like, hooked me immediately.
And it made you want to share that story
right.
with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And I just felt like there has to be other people that feel this way too.
So Beth, how did you get started hiking?
Well, so I didn't really grow up hiking very much. I grew up here in Colorado, but I always kind of felt excluded from that kind of outdoor culture. I didn't see people that looked like me doing it. And so I almost kind of like consciously rejected it. I was kind of like, I kind of have like a defiant personality. So it's like, if somebody is rejecting me, I'm like, I reject you back. So I kind of like, I almost like purposely did, like, would have kind of maybe even said I was indoorsy. It wasn't like I disliked the outdoors. I just felt like I didn't belong. And so I kind of went up through my life that way. And I mean, even sometimes I would try something outdoorsy, like if I wanted to try skiing, I would go look for snow pants and I couldn't find my size. And so it was like immediately, like when there's all those external factors that are telling you can't do it, and then inside you've internalized that too. It's like that's a huge barrier to get over. So I had moved away from Denver for a couple of years and I came back. And I got back here and I was like, well, I'm back here in Denver and all these people are moving to Denver now. They're all crawling all over the mountains. Like, why shouldn't I be able to, you know, like, I'm from here. Like, I want to see what that's like. I felt kind of compelled to try it and to just, you know, I felt like, why don't I get to stand on top of a mountain? So I got it in my head to try. And I just, I didn't have any of the stuff, and I didn't know what I was doing, really. But I went on that first hike. It was like a 5-mile loop. That's not too far away from Denver. And it was just fascinating, because I started out just feeling awful and, like, embarrassed and ashamed and frustrated. And but I just would, like, make myself go a little bit further. And eventually I was like, wait a minute, like, I'm not feeling all this, like, frustration. I don't feel so tired. And I was like, something just, like, clicked. And what I realized is, like, if you grow up, and, you know, I identify myself as fat. I don't feel bad about that word. So if you grow up fat, then you don't get that many opportunities to find out if you have that zone past warming up, if that makes any sense. So, like, that feeling that you get from, like, being tired before you've gotten warmed up, like, that would freak me out. And it felt like failure, and it felt stressful. So I'd never even, like, gotten the chance to know what that felt like to get past that. So I think that was a huge just, like, revelation to get past that first feeling. And so I kept going, and I loved it. And it was like, I just felt connected to my body in, like, a different way than I ever had been able to feel. Like, I always felt like I wasn't friends with my body. So it was like, whoa, like, could we be friends, you know, like maybe, or acquaintances, you know? So then I just started going, like, all the time, and I would make everybody I knew go with me. And I just started to realize, like, overall as a person, how much it affected my life and just, like, my mental health and everything. So that's a long way to tell you how I got started hiking. So,
it's a big story. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And that was back in 2018,
yeah,
right?
2017. So summer of 2017, I had just gotten back from Seattle a couple months before that. And I just felt like things weren't, like, lining up yet in my life. Like, I had done this big move out there, come all the way back. Like, you know, like, I didn't feel like things were coming together the way I wanted them to in my life. So I was like, I need to do something different. Like, something about my story I'm telling myself isn't working. So it was about almost 3 years ago.
And you said you didn't have probably what you might have been told was, like, mm-hmm. the right hiking gear.
Right.
But
yep.
You still are able to get out there and do it. I feel
yes.
like we're often told that you have to have, like,
exactly.
all this really expensive equipment.
Yeah,
just
there's
to step out.
That's a huge barrier too, I think, is just, like, it's overwhelming, all the gear and stuff. And, like, now I have plenty of gear, so I won't, like, hate on gear too much or anything. But at the time, like, and that was part of why I was like, maybe I can do hiking. Like, at this point, I'm probably not going to, like, be in the Olympics for snowboarding if I start now. But I was like, hiking, though, like, that's pretty much like walking. Like, I think I could do that. And so that was, yeah. And so the first time I went hiking, like, I mean, I knew I had to have water So I remember I didn't have like a water bottle per se. And so I had a Sprite bottle that was in my car and I was like, I'll use that. And so
better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, so I didn't really have the stuff yet, but then, you know, and, now I definitely like, I have good boots and that's the one thing I tell people, like, shoes are important, but yeah, I feel like that's a really great thing about hiking is like, there's so many different kinds of trails too that you don't, it's like the barrier to entry is very low compared to other sports.
Kind of reminds me when I was, I was probably in sixth grade and I started running as a kid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't really, my parents didn't like go to the store and buy me clothes. Mm-hmm. So I just ran in jean shorts for a while,
nice.
Which I would not recommend at all.
I like that.
But yeah, it's about getting out there and doing it, which
yeah.
is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I definitely like, I have more of the stuff that does make it easier, but yeah, I feel like that's kind of a cool thing about it that you can just get out and just have a little bit of stuff and get started.
You spoke a little bit about the way that you felt like Denver outdoor culture or most outdoor culture wasn't inviting you in. So like why mm-hmm. even bother in
yeah.
certain ways? Do you feel like that has changed at all since growing up or do you still feel that way about it?
It really depends on the space, I would say. Like, I think it's getting better. Like, and that was one of the cool things. I don't even know how I came across it, but like pretty much like right after I started hiking, I came across on Instagram, there's fat girls hiking and unlikely hikers. And that like changed my life because I was like, whoa, like I'm totally not the only person that feels this way. And so like, I kind of try to only expose myself to sources like that, if that makes sense. Like, I'm just not that interested in like, and not inclusive places. So that kind of, I've kind of curated for myself that experience. And then, but there are places that I do feel that way, like in the, you know, occasionally, like you look around and it's like, you do feel kind of intimidated by that atmosphere or whatever. It's like, I kind of feel like I can't help myself from talking about it now too. So like this is, I was up in the mountains with my friends a couple of weeks ago, and these two guys sat down next to us at a pizza place, and they started talking to us, and it turned out they were both, like, in the rock climbing industry, and they were both, like, you know, very, like, intense about it, and I said, like, do you guys have harnesses for people that are bigger? Like, and I just started talking about that, and I just started, like, posing the question. I could tell I was, like, weirding them out, but I couldn't help it. I was like, that's just, you know, then I'm kind of like, you know, I just, like, I have to talk about it now, so that's how I feel.
Well, one of the things that struck me and I'm not sure if it was your first Live Moth event or your second, but you mm-hmm. talked about just, and it was kind of jokingly about how you saw like all the gazelles on the trail,
yep.
like the people who were kind of lithe and bouncing around. And I have to like really acknowledge that I'm probably one of those people on the trail. Like hiking is one of the few places that I feel in my body and able to like excel in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, but at the same time, like, I love that you acknowledge that and handle it with, you don't have to handle it with humor, but I love
mm-hmm.
how you do that. And it's a way of like inviting people into better understanding your
yeah.
experience.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's, I try to find something funny about it most of the time. and that, yeah, it's definitely that I've had that feeling before where like, and it's sort of like my way of coping with it too, because like when I, on that hike where it occurred to me that all the people like kind of running by me were like the world's most annoying herd of gazelles or whatever. It's like, it's just like, I start to question like if I belong there, you know, I think it's also, it's interesting, like I'm really scared to mess up because I feel like if I were to like break my ankle and have to be rescued, like, and that could happen to anybody, you know, but if you're fat, like, it's going to automatically be, like, you shouldn't have been up there doing that, like, you're not fit enough to be there, so, like, I think having some humor about it, to me, is, like, a way to kind of, like, I don't know, just kind of get out of my head a little bit about that feeling that I'm not supposed to be there.
We'll hear more after this.
Deuter's been making technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. When we think of going the extra mile, it's not just the distance we hike. It's about the energy we put behind making change happen. This is why Deuter's effort to design backpacks with function and sustainability at the forefront of their mission resonates with us. It's the extra energy that gets us further down the trail and enjoying a healthier planet. Rebecca joins us now to give us an inside look at Deuter and their durable packs.
My name is Rebecca, and I do all of our trade, event, retail, marketing, and I've also taken on a lot of our corporate responsibility communication. We like to say that responsibility and sustainability have always been a part of what we do, because in order for that gear to A, be sold, or B, be used, or C, be loved, we have to have these places and make sure that they're in the best shape that we can. So we do our best to have fun with it, but also take it super seriously to make sure that these values are incorporated into our daily lives and operations, whether that's designing and developing really durable products so that they last and they don't end up in our landfills, or backing them up by a lifetime warranty that we call the Deuter Promise, and doing our best, if something does happen, to repair them first and replace them if we have to.
Learn more at deuter.com and find your perfect bag for your next adventure at rei.com or your favorite online outdoor shop.
Here on She Explores, we're passionate about remembering to absorb nature as we go. And whether you're making a bucket list of places you can't wait to experience for yourself, or dreaming about your next getaway, a great place to find nature on a future adventure is South Dakota. We know what you might be thinking. South Dakota? Well, this landscape just might surprise you. Or you might already be familiar with South Dakota's many unique spaces to immerse yourself in nature, whether you're hiking, biking, birding, fishing, paddling, or camping. Like Badlands National Park, where bison roam and the rock formations belong on Mars. Or Black Hills National Forest, where you'll find waterfalls, granite peaks, and storybook scenery. Check out the glacial lakes and prairies of its northeast corner, or the Missouri River, where you can kayak, canoe, or stand up paddleboard. You can also learn about the indigenous history of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota through informative museums and art galleries. Give any of these gems a quick Google and find out about the unique South Dakota landscapes for yourself. If that piques your interest, continue your quest with the free South Dakota Vacation Guide. Download the guide at travelsouthdakota.com. That's travelsouthdakota.com. We're back.
So you went on your first hike in 2017, mm-hmm. and then I think you said you did 38 hikes in 2018.
So then the next year, I started hiking all the time, and I was still doing that going into, I just figured out, like, oh, you can hike in the winter too. Like, you can, you know, if you have a few other things. And so, so I would do it all the time. And then my aunt had the idea. She's like, you're turning 35. Like, why don't you do 35 hikes? And I was like, that's cool. You know, I think I could do it. Like, I didn't have the, I kind of figured out if I did that many more than I could. So, and I think I did end up doing something like that, like something around ultimately that many hikes, and just immediately felt like how much different. I felt like my week would be like 75% better if I got to go on a hike that week. So, yeah.
So you went on to do the 52 mm-hmm. hike challenge yep. in 2019. Yep. And if you don't know what the 52 hike challenge is, it's actually a company that was started by Carla Amador. Mm-hmm. Amador, yep. And she was also on the She Explores podcast oh, cool. about a year and a half ago. And it's basically doing 52 hikes in a year, and that could line up to being, you know, one hike a week. How did you set yours up?
Yeah, so I had done the 35 hikes, and then I was kind of, I realized, like, I had never done anything like that, like, tried to set a goal of a number or anything. And so, but I realized, like, how cool that had been to, like, keep that sort of promise to myself to do that many. And so it got to be 2019, and I was thinking, like, I wonder, like, what could I do this year? And I had seen everybody on Instagram with 52 hike challenge, and I was like, that's a lot, you know, but I was like, but it's not that many, you know, it's not that, it's not like twice as many as I did last year. And then I thought, like, well, I'm kind of like scared to do it because it sounds hard. And then I was like, that's not a good enough reason not to, you know? So, yeah, so I just, I started doing it, at the beginning of 2019, and I kind of have, I have pretty loose rules for myself about it, because I'm just like, the main thing to me is to get out. Like, I'm not trying to prove anything really. It's like, it's really for me to just keep doing it. So, so my rules rules, I guess, are that it has to be a mile. I feel like less than a mile is hard. That's my, because sometimes you go a mile and if it's like a mile vertically, it can be, yeah, a lot. So it's a mile. I have to feel like I needed my hiking boots. Like, I can't, like, I don't, I mean, like, not to, you can go on urban hikes, but I want to be on a trail. So that's the third rule is that it's something that's called a trail. So so I have to feel like boots were kind of required and trail is in the name of the place that I was walking. So
you wanted to feel like you were immersing yourself in nature.
Exactly. Because that's a big part of it too. I live in the city. So a huge part of it too is just getting out. Yeah. And so the trail part of it kind of gets me to look beyond, you know, somewhere beyond the city to be in nature and be away from my regular life.
I like that you didn't put too many constraints on it, because I know as an individual, if I put too many rules to something that I want to set out and do, honestly, I give up. Like, it's,
yeah.
Or I procrastinate, and then yep. All of a sudden, like, you can't do 52 hikes in a week.
Right, like, yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking about it, too. I was like, I really want to do this, so I don't, you know, I have to set it up in a way that, because I work Monday through Friday, like, usually the weekend is when I can do it, so it has to be something that's doable in those 2 days that, you know, that time-wise and everything, so, yeah.
Did you try to have them be new hikes when you were doing it in 2019?
I mean, I went to so many new places just by virtue of doing it so often, but I really tailor it to like what the needs are for that hike. So I hike with other people a lot from my family and my friends, and so it might have to do with like the abilities of the person that I'm with, or like if kids are coming, or, you know, so there are certain trails that I know of around here that are just really good for certain things like that. Like, I have some repeats that I did, but I went all over the place, and that was one of the coolest things about it too. It was just seeing how many places I could get to over the weekend that felt like a world away from my life in the city. So.
And were most of those hikes in Colorado?
Most of them were, yeah. So I did get to do a couple when I was traveling. My best friend and I went to Hawaii, and we got to do Diamond Head. And that was interesting, too, because that was my first time, like, planning to do a hike on a trip. So that was cool because, like, I'd never brought hiking boots with me on a trip or something, but I had planned this in advance. And it was so interesting, too, because in the past that might be something that would have, like, really freaked me out. Like, I would have been like, it's going to be hot, it's going to be crowded, I'm going to be really stressed out by this, like, I don't know if I can do it. But instead it was like, I can't wait to do this. Like, this is one of the highlights of the trip, is getting to hike somewhere different.
So what was the evolution like for you personally in going from, because I know when you started hiking it was by yourself, mm-hmm. and now it sounds like you go with friends and family, and so what was that evolution like for you to start bringing more people into your hiking world?
Yeah, so I definitely hike with people that I know are not gonna stress out about like going super fast. Like, I don't want that sort of energy too, of just like feeling competitive or feeling, it's definitely more of like a meditative thing to me. So but it's been really awesome because just it's made me realize how many people I know that felt intimidated to start hiking or get outside much, and that, you know, that just will ask if they can come with me, which is really cool. So that's been a way to like connect with people too. I think it's like it's just such a beautiful way to spend time with people too, like whether you're talking or not, like you can just like be together in nature, which is very meaningful too.
And you started sharing a lot of those hikes, you know, on your personal
yep.
Instagram. What was the feedback? Like, what has the feedback been like through that first 52 hike challenge? And mm-hmm. now you're taking on another one, right?
Yeah. I got to the beginning of this year and I was like, I think I have to do it again because I just like, I don't know. I'm so used to it now that I really need it. Really, I was just like inspired. It made me think about it when I saw Unlikely Hikers and Fat Girls Hiking, like how much it meant to me to see somebody like me represented. And I'm a pretty outgoing person, and I like sharing anyway. And so I just felt like if there's anybody that like this would mean something to, like, I want them to hear it. but I'm not afraid to. So I just, like, the more that I would share about how it made me feel or, like, the places I went, the more that I wanted to share more. And so I would get, like, messages from people just saying, like, you know, thank you. Like, this weekend I went for my first hike, and, like, that's amazing. Like, that's, like, the, you know, the best part of sharing, I think, is just, like, if you are vulnerable, like, it gives people permission to be vulnerable with you. Yeah.
And you also told me that a lot of people just reached out, like, with simple questions, and seemingly simple, mm-hmm. like, not, this isn't actually a simple
yeah.
question,
mm-hmm.
But where did you get your hiking pants?
Right, yeah, because that's a big thing, too, is people ask me a lot about, like, gear, because it's really hard to find stuff in the size that you need if you're above straight sizes or whatever. It's just, like, and I have that question for people I see, too. I'm just, like, just those kind of, like, practical, tactical considerations, like, where to find something that's actually comfortable to wear is so important. And I used to work in fashion design, and so I really am a believer in, like, how important the way you feel in your clothes is to just being confident, first of all, but also it's kind of a safety thing, because I remember, like, the first time I did try snowboarding, I had to buy pants that were a little bit too small. And it was, like, the whole day I was kind of fixated on that because I wasn't comfortable. And I'm, like, this is not, you know, like, it's actually, like, kind of detracting from, like, me concentrating on what I need to do athletically. So, so I definitely try to share, like, whenever I do know, like, I mean, not to, like, give a shout out, but Duluth Trading Company, like, they actually have a lot of clothing mixed in with all the other sizes that are plus sizes. And that was so interesting to go in and be able to shop, like, among all the it wasn't like this little dark corner where the plus sizes were or whatever. And so I shared that because I'm just like, that meant a lot to me. So, being able to find stuff in my size there. And I feel like other people want to hear that too, because it was very meaningful to me.
And if you're not familiar with Jenny Brusso and Unlikely Hikers, Jenny has a column on mm-hmm. Outside Online, and she often shares different types of gear for mm-hmm. different activities for plus size
yep.
Individuals.
Yeah, so very good resource.
Good resource, too. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to drop brand
okay,
names.
Cool. Yeah, I was like, yeah. No, but it was so different, you know. Like, I was like, wow, I have, like, six things to try on. Whereas before, you know, a lot of the time if I go to an outdoor store, I'll find, like, one thing that someone else returned from online or something, you know, to try on or whatever. But having all those options was, like, yeah, it was kind of mind-blowing.
And that has to do with, like, the invitation to,
right.
to be outside.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Because, yeah, if you can't even find something to wear, then it's, like, how you're already getting that message that, yeah, that you're not invited and that, you don't really belong there. So, yeah.
So how did it feel when you finished those 52 hikes in 2019? And what day mm-hmm. of the year did you finish?
So, that's a good question, because I ended up doing a little bit more.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I think I did 54 hikes altogether. I did the last one on the 31st, which was cool. I was on a big road trip that I took all the way out to Yosemite. And so we were in Moab. And so the last hike I got to do was Corona Arch. That was awesome. That was, like, a really cool way to end the year and that challenge and everything. Especially because that was, like, a little bit more of a challenging hike in terms of some obstacles that I'm not used to. Like, you have to, like, climb a ladder and do some, like, a little bit of scrambling and stuff. And so I felt like that was cool to just feel capable of that and, like, not intimidated to do that.
Were you like, okay, when's the next hike?
I'm always like that. That's how, it's so important, like, again, just to, like, my own regulation of my mental health and that kind of thing that I'm never tired of it. And I'm always on to the next one.
Does it ever feel challenging to work these hikes into your schedule? Because I know I hear from a lot of women who, one, want to hear more about weekenders, even though, like, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, most of the women on the podcast are weekenders. Mm-hmm. Like, they are people who are fitting adventure mm-hmm. into their life outside of what they do for their livelihoods. But is it ever challenging, or does that draw to go out and hike override the?
I think because it's something that I do kind of, like, as self-care, it feels good to me to plan a hike every week. Like, I don't really, it doesn't feel that much of a chore, because it's like, oh, cool, now's the time where I get to start. And, you know, I find out my friend with kids is coming. So it's kind of fun to think of like, okay, where have we not been where it'll be kid friendly? And so it's a hobby of mine. So I generally don't feel, you know, like any sort of burden of trying to do it just because it's so something I do for me so intensely.
What's been you were at the film program last night. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your impression of the lineup, and did you have a favorite film that you saw last night?
Oh, man, I was, like, crying right away because it was like, like, even just, like, the first few moments of it, just, like, I think I just feel, like, so proud of women. Like, it's just, like, that was a big feeling I had is just, like, just that overwhelming, like, pride in what women are up against a lot of the time and what they, like, manage to overcome is so beautiful. So yeah, so I like obviously I cry all the time, so it's not
I cried a lot last night.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So that right away was just I felt like that about every film that we got to watch was just like just what the outdoors can mean to you on a deep level that way and that connection to nature and like that the way that it can kind of silence the narrative or whatever that might have been holding you back. I think like I have been following Down with Adventure on Instagram, so I was so excited like that when I was like crying full on because that film is beautiful and I just I can just relate to not having always been an outdoorsy person too. So I think that her story of like having some impetus with her daughter to get outside and to kind of shake up her life, like that really could, I really felt that very deeply.
So if you didn't see the film last night, it's about 5 minutes long, and I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure that you can see it through REI's YouTube channel, because it was produced by REI, mm-hmm. but it's called Down with Adventure, and it features Melody Forsythe, who's the mother of a beautiful little girl named Ruby who has Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and it's about the impact that Ruby has had on their family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and it's just, she kind of talks about how when she realized that she'd have a child with Down syndrome, she thought their life was over, basically, as far as getting to do, like, fun outdoorsy stuff, but instead it, like, opened up this entire part of their life and part of their world that that they now share all the time, and so, yeah, it's amazing.
I also really liked the... I don't remember the name of the film because I'm terrible with names.
Oh, sure.
I just have to admit to that. Mm-hmm. But it was two women swimming.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just
cool.
Like shot so beautifully, and they were doing cold open water swimming mm-hmm. in Scotland.
Yeah.
And it was two older women too, which mm-hmm. I thought was really nice to see represented because they are not represented enough mm-hmm. in any type of outdoor media. And there's a lot of awesome older women doing incredible things
yep.
and also everyday things, which I'm actually more interested
yeah,
in.
Totally. Yeah.
So it was really cool to see them and it's super, super poetic
yep.
and visually stunning.
Yeah. And I felt like too, like they're kind of the two women featured have like a very beautiful dynamic and relationship with each other too, that I just like that I felt like was very poetic and pretty. So, yeah.
Are there any, like, this is totally out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I didn't prepare you with this question.
Sure.
So if you don't have an answer,
oh,
that's
yeah.
okay.
I'll try.
But are there any films that you would like to see? Like a film that you didn't see last night? Something that you would love to see out there in the world?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I just think like the more inclusive, the better, like of every type of story, like that's what I want to see is just like, and I think, too, just, like, really vulnerable stories are really important, too. Like, just being able to, you know, to not sort of hide behind, like, a hardcore exterior about what the outdoors is like. Like, that's what interests me is just, like, how that connects to people's souls. And yeah, so that I'm open to anything. I like to hear anybody's story.
So the last time I was at No Man's Land Film Festival was... September 2017, and the founder, Aisha Weinhold, invited me to do a live podcast. And it was my first podcast that I'd done live before, so it was really nice of her to invite me to do it. It gave me a chance to grow a little bit, and I actually did the whole podcast episode about small moments of growth in your life, like those moments that you look back on. Like, you might not realize it's a moment that's significant in the moment, but when you look back, it's like this inflection point in your mm-hmm. life. And often we have those inflection points in the outdoors. But I was thinking about that last night and into today, and in just seeing how much this festival has grown too, mm-hmm. and like the types of films that are being shown, it feels like one of these inflection points, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But on that topic, do you have any moments that you feel like are inflection points for you on the hikes that you've been on, the probably almost 100 hikes you've been on the last few years?
I was just thinking that. I was like, I think I've maybe done almost 100.
Awesome.
I should count them up just because I should. It'd be cool to know which one was 100. But but yeah, I mean, the one that comes to mind, and in 2018, I climbed Mount Bierstadt, which I had never, that's a 14er in Colorado. And that's something I never, ever would have thought I could do or even imagine possibly trying to do. And it took a lot, like mentally, physically. I was kind of at a point, like you get to sort of like this huge rock pile, like you've climbed for hours, and then you get to the summit and you have to climb these huge rocks. And I was just like I had never done that before, so I wasn't, I just didn't know what that was going to feel like, and it was really difficult. And like, I was sitting there, and I had gotten to this one rock, and it was like, I just felt so raw and so like up against everything, like emotionally, physically. I was like, I've used up everything I have at this point. Like, I'm completely depleted. Like, and I'm like, maybe this is as high as I get to go. You know, like, maybe this is it for me. Like, I can see the view, like, pretty well, you know, like, maybe I'm not a person that gets to summit or whatever, and I was just, letting that really sink in, and just, like, it was just such a weird, like, raw moment, and my friend Katie came and sat down next to me, and she's, like, and I was, like, I think I can't go anymore, and I think you can do it, you know, and, it was so weird because, like, I actually believed her, and that is sort of a testament to, like, the inner work that I had been doing. Like, I could hear her. Like, I could hear her say that. I heard it, and I felt it, and I kept going, and I'm so happy I kept going because it was different being at the top than it was being a few hundred feet down, and that completely, like, redefined, like, who I think I am, or who I believe myself to be, just because I'm like, I am a person. She knew that I was a person who could do it, and now I think that too. So, yeah.
And I want to add mm-hmm. to that. I hope that next time that you're in that position, mm-hmm. that you think, I can't do this today, because that might be the case.
True, it's true.
And then you could probably do it another day.
Yeah, and that's interesting because Katie and our other best friend Erin and I, this past summer, we tried to climb Mount Sherman, another 14er, and I didn't get to the top because the weather started to freak me out, and like it just wasn't the day to do it. Like, so I think I got to about like 13,700 feet or something, which is still pretty good, you know. It's still great. And I just was like, I've had ankle injuries, and I was just like, it started raining, like the rocks were slippy. I just didn't have a good feeling about it, and I just like, my gut told me not to try to keep going. And I think before I would have really beat myself up about it, but it's just so interesting, like, because I just feel like I know who I am now. So it's like, I don't think about like how I don't belong there. So I'm like, that wasn't the day. So it's like, sometimes you get to the top and sometimes you don't, but you're still the same person.
And in, I think it was April of this past year, I worked with a woman named Deandra Oliver to put together an episode of the She Explores podcast that was called The Curvy Killy Crew, and it was about Curvy Killy Crew. Mm-hmm. It was 20 plus-size women who went to Kilimanjaro, to summit Kilimanjaro. And one of the takeaways mm-hmm. so much was that they decided that there were lots of different definitions for summits. Like you,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so a summit for a given day might be the halfway point, or it might be, like, sometimes for me, and you've talked mm-hmm. about this too on your social media, like I suffer from or experience seasonal affective disorder. So for me, a summit might be getting out of the house.
Totally. Like oh, yeah.
So there's just all these different ways that we can define, you know, success in our lives. Yep. And I loved that lesson. And I had never heard that articulated in the way that it was articulated
in
that podcast
episode. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Episode.
Yeah, I totally. That's absolutely true. I have seasonal affective disorder also, and I totally. Yeah, sometimes it's like I really don't want to go hiking. Like I really do not want to go anywhere. And yeah, and then sometimes I'll go, and I'm almost like embarrassed at how much it helped. Like I'm like that was so easy to do. Like it, that was such a. It's cool, but it's also interesting how that getting out of the house like. That first step is, yeah, can feel and is a summit for that day.
And personally, I've actually driven to a trailhead and seen like a million cars there and just driven home, yep. But really enjoyed the ride.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's
NPR
true.
On the way
yeah,
and just
yeah.
Enjoying the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, just, yeah, getting out. So, yeah, I agree with that.
So what's exciting you today? Mm-hmm. I know you have a new dog that you're taking out.
I do. Yeah. My old dog, I had a dog for about 12 years who died in November. So that was very sad and tough and very hard to get over that. And so I still, and obviously it's not that you should ever get over that, but just I took a couple months and then recently got a puppy at the beginning of February. And so that's been really fun because I've started hiking with her. By the time I started hiking, my old dog was pretty old. She was like 13 or 14 years old, so she couldn't really come with me, which I always felt, I'm like, I wish I had known how much I liked hiking. I would have taken you hiking. But yeah, so now I have a new little dog. And so, yeah, it's pretty fun to get to have her as a new hiking companion too.
What are the challenges of taking a puppy out hiking with you?
I mean, she's been pretty awesome. Like, it's interesting because she kind of gets freaked out in the city more than the mountains. Like, as soon, like, we took her on one hike the very first time, and she just, I wasn't sure I had all these treats. I was like, am I going to have to carry her? I don't know. And she just, like, started running along, and she loved it. So, I would say just, like, sometimes she's kind of a spaz, and so, like, she'll... Like, I've had to kind of, like, rebalance, like, because I have, like, I usually hike with one stick. Like, that just feels good. That's sort of, like, how I feel the most natural when I'm hiking. So I just went hiking last night with her, and I was like, okay, like, how do I, I'm like, I don't want to fall because I'm off balance or whatever. So I had to kind of, like, take a few practice steps to be like, okay, she's going to be over here and, yeah, not get tangled up and fall off the mountain or something. So, yep.
Oh. So last night was your hike for the week?
Yeah, because I was I've been hanging out at the festival this weekend, and so I wasn't sure if I'd get to go in the morning or what morning is typically when I go. But now that we have a little more daylight, which is happy for seasonal affective disorder people, so last night I realized I had some enough daylight to do one before it got dark. So yeah, so I'm like I'll fit it in there.
So I feel like I have a pretty good sense of how. Hiking, what hiking has mm-hmm. added to your life? What has leveraging your voice added to your life?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting on. So Beth does live storytelling events with The Moth, and she has to get up on stage with no paper. It's just you in a big spotlight, I think, and an
yep.
encouraging audience. So, like, what has that added to your life?
I think just again, just kind of like that vulnerability factor. I would say too, like. It's interesting, like, before I started hiking, and I can look back at, like, my own Instagram and see, like, I really didn't post a lot of photos of my whole body because I was, like, embarrassed and I didn't like how it looked, and I felt kind of, like, hiding, which I didn't even realize I was doing. Like, and then I would take pictures on these hikes, and I would, they record the moth and stuff, and so I would see myself, and I'm like, well, that's how I just look. Like, that's me. So I was just like, I kind of am tired of like trying to stand in a flattering way or not just sharing what I look like. So I would say like the storytelling and the hiking kind of happened in tandem, and both of them just made me feel like I'm tired of hiding. Like I'm tired of like sort of, you know, trying to, yeah, just like find clothes that hide my body or anything like I just, yeah, it's definitely made me just feel more comfortable and more excited to just like share who I actually am and look how I want to look. And yeah, so that's been interesting. It's also just been really interesting with storytelling, like how many people you realize like needed to hear that story. And I feel that about stories that I hear too. Like you don't know who might need to hear it. So like stories are very important for that reason.
You don't feel alone.
Yeah, exactly. Like just you're seeing your experience reflected or just the insight that somebody might have into something that you've experienced can just like really, really matter on any given day.
And that's what I love about this film festival. It's what I love about creating a podcast mm-hmm. is the ability to highlight different experiences.
Totally.
And then ideally, you know, if you're a listener or a watcher of these films, you're not just like scrolling through and trying to find feel like is going to reflect you yep. necessarily or is going to make you feel good that day. Like you're open to learning about other people because that's what makes our society better. And it's what makes our outdoor culture that much more enriching mm-hmm. and enjoyable.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
If you want to hear this episode, it'll be out in a few weeks.
Thank you so much to Beth Bradley for showing up live and sharing her story with us. Thank you to No Man's Land Film Festival for the opportunity, especially Aisha Weinhold for starting the No Man's Land Film Festival, Kathy Carlo for doing a fantastic job being the executive director of this amazing nonprofit, Laura Borchevsky, who you will recognize her name. She's on my team too. She works as marketing for No Man's Land Film Festival and did an incredible intro that I decided to cut just for brevity's sake, and also Liz Esch, who does the programming for No Man's Land. She's awesome. Thank you, too, to the women who asked questions at the end of the live podcast. We had to cut that as well. I wasn't able to get your names, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone feel comfortable, so just ended up deciding to cut it. But thank you so much for your questions and continuing the conversation. You can follow Beth on Instagram at TheBethst. That's T-H-E-B-E-T-H, TheBethst. You can also find No Man's Land Film Festival on all social platforms. There were a lot of resources and wonderful people named in this episode. You can find them in the show notes as well. Big thank you to our sponsors, Deuter, Appalachian Gear Company, and Travel South Dakota. Your support means the world to us. We're so grateful to be able to share stories of how women are impacted by time outside. You can find She Explores on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Gale, G-A-L-E, Straub, S-T-R-A-U-B. If you enjoy listening, there are different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explores podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is by Lee Rosever, Josh Woodward, and Kay Engel using a Creative Commons Attributions license. That lovely Deuter ad was read by Tori Duhame. She Explores is a production of Ravel Media. Until next week.